Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week we had the Republican National Convention and the speeches were fantastic. Last week was the Democrat Convention. These two conventions really reflect two opposing worldviews. It's fascinating to me how we reflect the disposition of our heart in this theater called politics. I wish I had the time to put together a program that made an ideological comparison between these two conventions, but A, that would be a lot of work, and B, the conclusions would not be something new for most of my listeners. Instead, this week I want to address a topic that's been in my queue for quite a few weeks. Who are the rioters? Every day there are riots and protests in American cities. In cities like Portland, there have been riots and protests every night for the last 3 months. Last weekend, a riot broke out in Kenosha, Wisconsin, after it was reported that a police officer shot a black man for resisting arrest. And he was going to his car, and clearly what looked like he was going for a weapon. The riots began, cars were burned, whole car dealerships were set on fire, stores looted, police officer was hit in the head with a brick. On Tuesday, there were shootings and two people died. The mother of the man who was shot, he was still alive, by the way, is decrying all of the violence in the name of her son. Quote, "My family and I are hurt and quite frankly disgusted. As his mother, please don't burn up property and cause havoc and tear your own homes down in my son's name. You shouldn't do it. People shouldn't do it anyway, but to use my child or any other mother or father's child to react in this manner is just not acceptable." But the rioters continued, even when the family directly involved told them to stop. So something is going on here that is more than just wanting to stop police brutality or racial injustice. Just last night, CNN was trolled on the internet for putting out this report and graphic in their coverage of the Kenosha riots. And the marquee at the bottom of the screen read, "Fiery, but mostly peaceful protests after police shooting." And the reporter talks about peaceful protests as buildings are consumed by a raging fire in the background. Now, on the internet, people have made parodies of this kind of reporting as a joke. And now the parodies are coming true. Check out this parody.
"Well, as far as the attitude on the ground, you know, folks are entirely peaceful, but far from happy. Just imagine if every day when you left home, you didn't know whether you'd be coming back.
Black power.
You might be a little upset too."
"Well, Tanya, in my line of work, that's always a possibility, but I know that many in the audience might not understand what that's like." No. Tanya, hold. Was that a man on fire?
Hard to tell with the flames, Chris. Might have been a really muscular lady.
So, Tanya, what are the people on the ground saying there?
"Yeah, we gonna burn this motherfucker down, 313, bitch.
Yeah. Right, CVS is open for business, y'all. Take what you need."
A fitting tribute to the memory of George Floyd, Chris.
Yeah.
So, even with all of these parodies on the internet, CNN says fiery, but mostly peaceful. And, you know, if these fires were set at a pro-NRA rally or a pro-life rally, we know how the media would characterize it. And we also know that those on the ideological left are characterizing these rioters just as frustrated citizens who are being victimized by the system, that this is just a natural response coming from those who do not have social power. Quote, "They are just people who have lost faith in their institutions." Another quote from the left, "They're just speaking truth to power in the only way they know how." But is that true? Are these rioters victims, or are we to view these men as the violent men described in the scripture? Jude 16, the grumblers, the fault finders, those who are following after their own lusts. So the message today is this question: who are the rioters? We see pictures of these rioters, but who are they? What are their demographics? Their age, their education, their background? What are their party affiliations? What's their ideology? Even what do they do for a living? Are they paid agitators by some leftist organization? You know, it's really hard to get at some of this information because the media is doing very little investigative reporting on this. And second, these people are working to conceal their identity. Last week in Portland, a BLM protester was caught on camera kicking a truck driver in the head, severely injuring him. Arrest warrants went out for this protester, and he eventually had to turn himself in. And he goes by the name of Marquise Love, which may be an alias. He's 25 years old. On his Facebook page, he claims to have worked as a DJ for a Portland club, as an airport ramp agent, and an armed security guard. He was wearing a shirt that says Star Security when he kicked the truck driver in the head, but the security agency says that Marquise Love is not working for them. So he falsified his identity in that. He's originally from Miami, not Portland. He was officially involved in BLM. He worked to organize the Wall of Moms march in Portland. In October of 2012, he was arrested for driving without a license or insurance and interfering with public transportation. In 2014, he was charged with probation violations. And in a domestic relations case, the court established his paternity of an unidentified child. In 2015, he went to prison. In 2016, he was arrested for providing false information in connection with a transfer of a firearm. In the same year, he was charged with a domestic assault and criminal trespass. In February of 2017, he was charged with fourth-degree assault and harassment in a domestic violence case and sent to jail. In March of 2017, a judge signed a protective order against him. In 2019, he was charged with speeding and driving without a license and failing to appear in court. Now, this program is not about Marquise Love, but he's just one face of the violence. But he's an example of the typical profile of these rioters and the group Antifa. They often come from dysfunctional broken homes. They create dysfunctional broken homes. They've had run-ins with the police in the past. Usually drug offenses, petty crimes, they are immoral sexually, and therefore, it's no surprise that these people hate the system that works to hinder them. They would love to defund the police. They would love to taunt the police. These people favor lawlessness. And if you know anything about criminals in the inner city, the police is the enemy. And these people take their anger out on the system and they blame the system for their dysfunction. And so when they get the opportunity to do violence against the system, and when they're encouraged to do so by leftist social leaders and organizations to do this out of some sort of justice, they jump on the opportunity. On Marquise Love's Facebook page, he writes about the protests. It's for me and my son's culture. Hashtag BLM, hashtag rise up, hashtag we stand as one. Now, from a Christian ministry perspective, Christians are always trying to reach these people with salvation and God's truth. But from a moral, social perspective, we know that these are the wicked we're warned about in Scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus said, beware of men. Philippians 3, 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. God rescued Lot, righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14. Do not enter the paths of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. And 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that we would be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all men have faith. And the responsibility of the state, according to Romans 13, is to bring wrath on those who practice evil. This is God's punishment for sin and God's ordained way to bring these people to repentance. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, because the sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly, therefore the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to do evil. And if you want to bring God's wrath down on your own life and ruin your life, disobey God's established civil government by rioting and pillaging. Romans chapter 13, verse 2, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves, condemnation from God. So we can talk in terms of Christian compassion for sinners, and at the same time talk about the necessity of restraint and punishment. It's not as if being harsh on crime means you're not compassionate and evangelistic. These rioters are not victims. They are sinners, they're rebels in need of chastening and in need of salvation. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 had two choices. He could come to his senses and return to his father's house in humility, or he could consider himself a victim of the system, join a gang, and that would eventually burn down his father's house. Now, there's this slogan out there. You can either make America great, or you can make America hate. And we can respond to our liabilities and our problems with love or hate, with peace or rebellion. We can respond like Abel and bring the right offering, or we can respond like Cain with violence. But one thing is for sure. We should never excuse or rationalize ungodly responses like those on the left are doing, excusing sin. Last month, there was an interview on NPR, All Things Considered, entitled, Who Are the Protesters Who Make the Anti-Police Movement Not Entirely Peaceful? And in this discussion, the host said that there are two protests going on. Quote, news stories often describe anti-police protests as being mostly peaceful, with some violence. In reality, two kinds of protests are going on, and there is tension over tactics, unquote. So the goal of some is to peacefully protest, and they are against these rioters because these rioters are undermining the moral authority of the protest. Others, often called the Black Bloc, because they wear black, even in protests 20 years ago, these people want to incite violence. They want to be vigilantes against the establishment, against businesses, against the middle class, against the government. Quote, the Black Bloc has been a feature of protests in cities along the I-5 corridor, Eugene, Portland, and Olympia. In Seattle, the annual May Day parade is often followed by a kind of after-party confrontation between Black Bloc and police. Sometimes they're called piggyback activists because they're accused of using destructive tactics to co-opt other people's peaceful marches. That's certainly the message of local Democratic politicians. That is what Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin said after protesters went on a Wednesday night window-breaking spree. Quote, there's a distinction. Many of those people are from here. Some, we believe, are coming from Portland and other areas. There has literally been posting on the internet a call to the fight with pictures of burning police cars. That's what we want to avoid. Then in this NPR program, they cite Mike Andrews and his website, It's Going Down, which is basically the Drudge Report for these violent activists, rallying them from all over the country to participate in bringing down America as we know it, claiming the government's illegitimate. On the It's Going Down About Us page, who we are, It Is Going Down is a digital community center for anarchists anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonialist movements across so-called North America. Our mission is to provide a resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action. So these rioters are becoming organized, and there is a loose group of communist ideologues, social misfits, disgruntled, hate-filled people who are showing up when these protests get announced. Just like there were the Jacobins in the 18th century France who started the Reign of Terror, and the Bolsheviks at the beginning of the 20th century in Russia. People haven't changed. There are always violent men who gravitate to ideology that supports their quest for power and violence. Here's an article in the Dallas News trying to identify the protesters. Antifa? Boogaloo? Who are the extremists blamed for stirring up trouble at protests, and what are their goals? The former Dallas FBI chief says groups are likely using demonstrations to raise their profile. Quote, blame the outsider. That seems to be the one thing uniting politicians, protesters, and police, who are blaming outside agitators for demonstrations that have turned violent in dozens of cities around the country over the past week. But just who are these outsiders? Are they organized groups? Individuals committing random acts of violence? President Donald Trump blames the violence on outside extremists, specifically Antifa, a shadowy far-left movement that he describes as a domestic terrorist organization. Others who study extremism in the United States say the violence has been purposely stroked by far-right fringe groups such as the Boogaloo Movement, which wants to exploit the marches and sow discord and turn the public against the protesters. Now, this Boogaloo claim is that all this violence is being done by right-wing agitators who just want to make BLM look bad. But there's no evidence of this. I mean, if you can find some, send it to me. The violence is actually being done by the more radical elements of the left, not conservatives sneaking in to pose as rioters. Oh, and by the way, I hope you notice certain unscrupulous techniques used by journalists. When they want to push a narrative and have no proof, they write things like others who study extremism. And that gives some legitimacy to an opinion that they want to share. But who are the others who study extremism? It could be their next door neighbor. It could be someone on the street they met that said, oh, this is the Boogaloo Movement. Or it actually could be the journalist himself. That's just sloppy, dishonest journalism, giving no citation for an opinion. But anyway, it's these outsiders, apparently, who are causing violence. But maybe what is really going on here is that the violent outsiders are actually the insiders. And those people who are showing up just to be involved in some sort of Martin Luther King protest for equality are really the outsiders being used by the insiders. So my counsel to those moderate protesters is this. Don't protest if you know it is going to bring in or bring out rioters. If you are attracting these rioters, that should be a sign that maybe something is off in your ideology. It may actually be that everyone who is there has the same faulty premises for their beliefs, but only in different degrees. And that is why I always stay away from protests and movements on the right that attract a bad element. And I will never attend a protest. I'll attend a speaker. I will attend a rally, but not a protest. Because a protest seeks to use the power of numbers and intimidation to allegedly promote righteousness, but God doesn't work through that method. Jesus never formed protests. And that's a topic for a whole other program. The bottom line is you don't want to participate with violent men. So let's talk about what the Bible describes as men of violence. This is a common description in the Bible. And if you've had any dealings with law enforcement or social work, you've run into these people. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, "Rescue me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from men of violence." Psalm chapter 11, verse 5, "The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates." Psalm 27, 12, "For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence." Psalm 73, 6, "Pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them." There are many psalms that describe the persecution of the righteous and those who want a righteous society as coming from violent men. Also the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31, "Do not envy a man of violence." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17, "For they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence." Proverbs chapter 13, verse 2, "The desire of the treacherous is violence." And Isaiah 59, 6, "Their works are works of iniquity, and acts of violence are in their hand." Now, often this biblical title describes invaders. In the ancient world, there were many roaming gangs. Often they would organize around a violent leader and become whole tribes. The ancient world looked very much like a dystopian Mad Max movie. And so, in the past, villages always had to be on the lookout for these thugs. And that's why in the ancient world, the cities were always built with walls. People needed to protect themselves from violent men. And these are these people who are out there who are filled with hatred and bitterness, theft, rape, murder. They would kill you just as much as look at you if they had the opportunity to do so. You know, since the fall of man into sin, there have always been people who want to burn and destroy what belongs to other people. Remember Romans chapter 3? This is the unsaved man's default condition. Destruction and misery are in their path. And that's why people in the ancient world would put up with powerful demagogues and create oppressive police states. Because it's better to have one thug in charge who is generally on your side than to have to fight foreign thugs. Now, in the Bible, these violent men often refer to these outside invaders, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, such as in Jeremiah chapter 51, "Violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler." Or Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 12, "I will sell the land into the hands of evil men, and I will make the land desolate and all that is in it by the hand of strangers." But often the prophets also spoke about Israel's own citizenship as consisting of violent men, such as Hosea chapter 4, "Listen to the word of the Lord, O sons of Israel, for the Lord has a case against the inhabitants of the land, not foreigners, the Jews themselves, because there is no faithfulness or kindness or knowledge of God in the land. There is swearing, deception, murder, stealing, and adultery. They employ violence, so that bloodshed follows bloodshed." And also Psalm 55, "For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around on her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide himself from him. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend." So this was Jew being violent against Jew. And the great offense here is that this was even citizen against citizen. Now, in our Christianized West, we have come to take a peaceful society for granted. But remember, the default position of mankind is continual violence. Remember before the Noahic flood? Genesis chapter 6, verse 11. "Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And then again in verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. What's simply happening today is that as our nation has abandoned God and God's truth, people are naturally becoming more violent. Violence is the fruit of godless secular humanism. Remember, the liberal is a person who thinks he can pull out the root and still have the flower. No, if Christ and God is removed from a society, all hell breaks loose. As George Washington wrote, without the Christian religion, there is nothing that can stand against the sweeping torrent of boundless ambition and the current of corrupt morals. There is nothing that can stand against this. So what we're seeing is what we should expect when a people reject God. We're not going to have abortion and LGBTQ in our society without also the violence and the mayhem and oppression. It's a package deal. So as far as points are concerned, point number one, violent men are the result of and are to be expected among the unsaved, the unregenerate, natural humanity. And for a second point, the violence is always justified and rationalized as a claim for justice among these violent men. So that these rioters don't believe they're doing anything wrong. They believe they are freedom fighters. They believe they are the good guys fighting evil people and an evil system. And this is the case in all those who do evil. They believe that they're doing good. They believe their cause is just, and that justifies their violence because they believe they are being violent against evil people. And this is why it's so hard to convince them otherwise. Nobody does violence without a justification. Even thieves believe they have been cheated in life, and so they have a right to steal. That others have been given gifts unfairly, that these things really don't belong to these other people because these other people have an unfair advantage. So they steal and they think that they're justified. Last week, there was a BLM activist in Chicago who said the looting was no big deal because these businesses were insured. And if you listen to these rationales long enough, and if you don't have your feet grounded in biblical truth, you'll become like these leftist intellectuals who say, well, if these criminals can give a rational reason, that lessens the crime. We have to affirm their perspectives. We have to sympathize with their plight. But no, the reality is, these looters are not only thieves, but they're smart thieves and they're liars. If a thief can now give a reasonable or rational excuse for their behavior, it doesn't make him a better person. It actually makes him a worse person because now he's guilty of two crimes, stealing and deceiving. There is a recent book out called Grandstanding, The Use and Abuse of Moral Talk. And the author had a great description of grandstanding. Quote, invoking sacred words, justice, dignity, rights, equality, honor, tradition, faith, family, magically transforms your nasty, abusive, selfish behavior into something heroic and praiseworthy. Want to be cruel to those people you don't like and have your like-minded peers congratulate you? Wrap your behavior in high-flying moral language and voila, you become brave, admirable, speaking truth to power. And this is what happens all the time in this unsaved world. The most evil, base, ungodly people think themselves to be righteous and will use language to describe themselves as righteous. So how do you know who's right? There's this viral YouTube comedy sketch by Mitchell and Webb called Are We the Baddies? Check this out.
Have courage, my friend.
Yeah. Hans, I've just noticed something.
These communists are all cowards.
Have you looked at our caps recently?
Our caps?
The badges on our caps. Have you looked at them?
What? No. A bit?
They've got skulls on them. Have you noticed that our caps have actually got little pictures of skulls on them?
I don't.
Hans, are we the baddies?
Let's see. We should be able to hold them at this point here, at least for a few hours.
And why skulls, though?
What?
Why skulls?
Well, maybe they're the skulls of our enemies.
Maybe. But is that how it comes across? I mean, it doesn't say next to the skull, you know, yeah, we killed him, but trust us, this guy was horrid.
Well, no, but...
I mean, what do skulls make you think of? Death, cannibals, beheading, pirates.
Pirates are fun.
I didn't say we weren't fun, but fun or not, pirates are still the baddies. I just can't think of anything good about a skull.
What about pure Aryan skull shape?
Even that is more usually depicted with the skin still on. Whereas the Allies...
Oh, you haven't been listening to Ally propaganda. Of course they're going to say we're the bad guys.
But they didn't get to design our uniforms. And their symbols are all, you know, quite nice. Stars, stripes, lions, sickles.
Well, this skit makes the point that evil is very subtle and that evil doesn't always know it's evil. I mean, I wish we had skull icons that appeared on our heads when we're evil. But then again, would that really change anything? Revelation chapter 13, someday people have the mark of the beast on their forehead, and they will still think that they're the good guys. Jesus knew very well about the self-deception of evil. And so he gave his disciples, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, a decisive way of determining whether you're one of the baddies. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire, so you will know them by their fruits. If you're setting cars on fire, if you're breaking windows, if you're looting stores, if you're destroying the labor of others, if you are not being a peacemaker, then you are one of the baddies. It's quite simple. And politically, if you're supporting the killing of babies and supporting the legalization of sexual deviance, you're also one of the baddies. Did you hear Abby Johnson's speech at the GOP convention this week? She worked for Planned Parenthood. She thought she was doing good until she was asked to help with an ultrasound abortion. And there she saw a baby in the womb trying to get away from the suction tube. And then she saw the baby being ripped apart and the parts coming through the machine. And then she saw how they pieced together those baby parts in order to make sure they got everything. She was horrified. And then she realized that she was evil, that she was doing evil, and that she was part of a party that is evil. Because by their fruits, you will know them. It's pretty obvious, but the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and it's not just Satan, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it's our own hardened, sinful hearts, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them because of the hardness of their hearts. Satan, our sinful flesh, and the ideology being taught by false teachers will get you to justify your sin and get you to think that you're a good person, that you're some sort of freedom fighter, that you are a victim of the system. And when people go down that road of pride rather than humility, it always results in violence. Psalm chapter 73, therefore pride is their necklace. The garment of violence covers them. Their eyes bulge from fatness. The imaginations of their heart run riot. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak from on high. They have set their mouths against the heavens. their tongue parades throughout the whole earth. You know, I can't conclude without mentioning the classic biblical text on this subject of self-deception, James chapter 3. This text will change your life. James 3:13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Don't deceive yourself. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's not coming from God, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Why is this text in our Bible? Because people all the time see their sinful violence and hatred and bitterness as being goodness and justice. But those feelings, those attitudes, those ideas are not from God. They're demonic. And we need to recognize them as such. Well, let me end here. I could go on and make a few other points about these rioters, such as, you know, these rioters are actually what the Bible describes as the ungrateful, the ingrates, spoiled brats. But I'll get to that some other time. It's not as if, you know, these riots are going to stop anytime soon. So may God continue to bless you. May you be fruitful in every good deed as you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for taking the time to make God and country one part of your discipleship in the Word. You know, don't forget to like, to share, to subscribe, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.